All right. Like I said, for sake of time, I kind of wished I had that on. In those statements that I made precedingly there, so maybe they was meant for y'all only. But in Acts chapter 17, I do have a little bit of the hiccups this morning. Surely we can get through it. I want to read all of these verses. I'm actually only going to preach starting in verse number 22. And not use a lot of text out of this chapter, but I want to read it all so you can get an understanding of why I want to use these two verses here. Acts 17, 22 and 23. But it says here, starting in verse number 1, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis," and some of these names are pretty tough here, "Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, that was a synagogue of the Jews." And Paul, as his manner was, I mean, you could pretty much predict Paul. He's pretty predictable. And it says, "Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures." And I thank God for my Bible.
Amen.
One thing you can take the Bible, not only not worry about it ever failing you, but you can take the Bible and you can reason with people out of it. Everybody's not open to truth. Everybody don't want truth, but some do. And those that want truth, you can take this Bible here and you can reason with them out of the Scriptures. And verse 3 said, "Open and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ." Some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas and other devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of chief women, not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people." Now in our day and time, you've got a movement, it's called resist. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of see that in this verse. You got Jews, they don't believe. And then for that reason, they're motivated. They take certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. It means they'd pretty much be persuaded to do about anything. Gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, talking about Paul and Silas, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." Verse 7, "Whom Jason have received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." They make this a political thing. Not only they won't resist what's going on, but now they're making it a political thing, and they're bringing Caesar into it, and they're saying, you know, they're trying to overthrow Caesar here. Verse 8, "And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things, and when they had taken security of Jason and of other, they let them go." Verse 10, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so." And I do recommend that you do that with every preacher. Search the Scriptures. Our pastor talked about preaching kind of like eating watermelon. He said there's probably some good in all of them. But he said, "Eat which can, spit the rest out." But these searched out daily whether those things were so. And "therefore many believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica," now he just came from Thessalonica, "when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. Now, you can see already the opposition. You can see the problems of politics, persecution. But also you can see the product. There were many of them, verse 12, which believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. Verse 15, and they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. I'm in verse 15 of Acts 17. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred up in him. And when he saw the city wholly given to adultery, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the, didn't realize these words were so big, of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? And others, some, he seemed to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. You got scoffers showing up.
Right.
Now the Epicureans, they were they that abandoned the hopelessness of the search by reason for pure truth, and seeking instead true pleasure through experience. Now the other ones, the Stoics, they were disciples of Zen. Their philosophy was founded upon self-sufficiency, proceeding from stern self-repression and the solidarity of the race and the unity of deity. And the Epicureans and the, I can't say that word, Stoics, divided the apostolistic world. I want to get that in there. You got a lot of scoffing, a lot of resisting, a lot of persecution, a lot of politics, and these men are continuing on. And that they took him, talking about Paul, brought him unto Archibus, saying, may we know what is this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Now our text starts really on the preaching in verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. For I passed by, and this is the key verse right here, for as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, to whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with man's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and have made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and have determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also certain of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, We ought not to think that the Godhead is likened unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. But the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead. When they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Others said, "We will hear thee again of this matter." So Paul departed from among them, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among which was Dionysius and a, good Lord, all pagan, and a woman named Diaris, and others with them. Thank God. Boy, them's rough names. We want to preach today a pastoral type message, kind of like last Sunday. I preached a doctrinal message about the blood, and I want to preach again a doctrinal message, a pastoral message, and the message today is on spiritual ignorance. And pray for me and pray with me. Lord, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege to stand for the Word of God. Lord, we realize, Lord, that we're in the Laodicean day. We realize, Lord, the love of many is waxed cold. We realize, Lord, there's a great falling away. Lord, we realize, Lord, Your Word's been fulfilled. Lord, even this week, Lord, the moon turned to blood. Your Word said before the notable day of the Lord would come that the moon would be turned to blood and the sun would be made sackcloth. And Lord, this bunch is just like that bunch, Lord, in Noah's day. Lord, we're not discerning the times. We're not noticing the signs. But Lord, they're still there. I pray, God, today that, Lord, You'll be able to somehow, Lord, preach to me. Preach through me. I pray You get all the praise and glory. I pray, Lord, You'll open our eyes. Lord, help us, I pray, to receive the things of God. Help us, I pray today, Lord. Bless our efforts. In Jesus' name we'll ask it. Amen. All right. I'm trying to preach today on spiritual ignorance. And that really, those two verses was probably all I needed to read, but I felt if I didn't read the whole chapter, you'd not understand why Paul said, "I notice that you're worshiping an unknown God."
Yeah.
And a lot of people are doing the same thing, Brother Ed and Brother Mitchell. A lot of people, but you know, let me put it this way about worship. And I'm just going to throw these three words out to you and keep these three words in mind. Even though I won't mention them in this message, they still pertain to this message.
Amen.
You're going to worship in this way. Why, where, and what?
Right.
Or who?
That's right.
What or who can fall in the same category?
Right.
But you're going to worship something. I mean, even an atheist, he worships something.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just in us. We're going to worship something. The heathen in the darkest corner of this world, Sister Joanne, they're going to worship something.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
They may not understand, but it's in their heart, Rita, they're going to worship something. Mm-hmm. The atheist doesn't want nothing to do with God. He's going to worship something. It may just be him. It may be his money. It may be his house. Maybe his wife. Maybe his position in life. He may find a consolation in all of the things that he's gained in life. I got one of these. I got some of them. Yeah, I got a bunch of them. Even the atheist, Brother Danny, is going to worship something.
Yeah.
It's in our heart that we're going to worship something. And when it comes to worship, Brother Mitchell, I want to save all worship for one is worthy.
Amen.
If there ever was one worthy,
that's
Brother
right.
Jerry sung about in there, the King of Glory came down and hung on the cross so we could go up to glory.
Amen.
And if there ever was one worthy worship, it's Him.
Right.
And we don't like that song, "Who Are We?" that He would devote such a sacred head
that's
as
right.
one such as I don't want. I mean, I'm telling you, I ain't fit for nothing but the grave, the ground. But He gave me worth.
That's
He put
right.
His treasure
Amen.
In earthen vessels and gave me
that's
worth. I'm worth something now.
That's
I wasn't
right.
worth nothing
Amen.
Before,
right.
but I'm worth something now.
Right.
I'm fit to be a jewel for His crown now.
That's
but
right.
He's still working
Amen.
On me when He gets to done polishing me up. You probably understand more about that. But ignorance and worship don't need to go together. But we got a lot of spiritual ignorance going on today.
Amen.
In Romans chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, you see Paul talking about ignorance there in a different way. And I was sure I could quote that, but since I would rather read it than mess it up, he said, "Now I would not have you to be ignorant, yes, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even among the other Gentiles. I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise." Some people are ignorant about the work. There's a lot of work.
That's
for
right.
Serving God.
Amen.
And we've got missionaries being killed in prison. We've got one in Turkey. They're fighting to get him released. We've got all kind of ignorance concerning the work of God. There are people giving themselves to go to other countries and really put themselves in the form of a sacrifice for His glory and praise. We've got a lot of ignorance concerning the work. People just don't understand. I heard a testimony. I drove to work one day this week about a man's daughter that gave herself into the missionary work, and it was a blessing. We just don't really understand the work that goes on in the things of God. You got the ignorance of salvation, Romans 10 verse 1 through 4. You got the ignorance of spiritual gifts, and boy, that's a plague. I tell you what, it's so predominant. You got to really be careful there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 1 through 3. Paul said, "I'd not have you ignorant concerning spiritual gifts." And a lot of people are ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. And he said, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant." And a lot of people are ignorant. I'll tell you, if you ever hear Brother Eddie speak in tongues, it'll be of the Lord. I fear having to answer God for one tongue, much less more than one.
Yeah.
But anyway, it'll be of God if you ever hear me speak in tongues. You got the ignorance of the trouble that goes along with living for God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 8, he said, "I'd not have you ignorant concerning the things that befell me." Jesus told us plainly in the world we'd have tribulation. But he said, "Be a good cheer, I've overcome the world." And then you got the ignorance of the resurrection. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 13 through 18, where Paul said, "Brethren, I'll not have you ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that you saw not as others have no hope." He says, "For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even also so them that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that they which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." I was in a church one time, and a guy said, "I'm jealous of y'all." Hey, and we thought that was a good thing. And he said, "It says the dead in Christ arise first. Y'all are dead in the cemetery." And you know what? He kind of throwed that out there. And we just didn't get it at the first that we got in the end there. But he said, "The dead in Christ arise first." He said, "I'm a little jealous." And he said, "Then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up." There's your resurrection, your rapture. Here's the rapture mentioned here. "Then we which are alive," the resurrection mentioned in verse 16, the rapture mentioned in verse 17, "then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up." That's what the word rapture means, caught up.
Amen.
"Together with them in the clouds." I've never flown, but I'm going to make this flight. I've got reservations to meet the Lord in the air. I've never left this ground, but I'm going to. "And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." And that is a comfort, to know that one day we're going to make our exodus. But Paul's sermon here on Mars Hill is easily seen here. Verse 24 through 30, he's talking about God in creation.
Yes.
I mean, he says God made everything. And then he gets down to God in judgment, verse 31. Reminds me of when he was talking to Felix. Felix sinned and heard Paul concerning the gospel. And in Acts 24, verse 15, when Felix heard of the judgment to come, the Bible said that Felix trembled. Yeah. And Paul here in Acts 17, he's talking about God in judgment. He's going to judge. But he also talks about God in resurrection, verse 31, 34. The ignorance of our day is in part from not doing what Jesus told us to do.
Right.
Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, He said, if you be my disciples, continue ye in my word, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You see, we've got ignorance because we're not doing what the Lord told us to do. He said, seek out of the book of the Lord.